Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The days are dwindling down to a precious few for the administration of Mayor Francis Slay. His fourth and final term as mayor ends next week with the inauguration of Lyda Crewson. That will bring to an end Slay's more than 30 years of service to the city. He also served on the Board of Aldermen as its president. And for those of you who haven't heard, we have posted a special 7-part podcast reflecting on his record 16-year tenure as mayor. It's called The Millennium Mayor. Here's how it begins.
Mr. Mayor, would you raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me, stating your name. I,
Francis Slay,
solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Missouri.
The Constitution of the State of Missouri.
And the Charter and laws of the City of St. Louis.
And the Charter and laws of the City of St. Louis.
That's outgoing Mayor Francis Slay at his first inaugural in April 2001. He'd be sworn in with similar words in 2005, 2009, and 2013. And he leaves office later this month after 16 years in the city's top job. Slay announced his decision a year ago in his typical low-key, no-frills style.
I will not be a candidate for mayor next year. To forestall some questions, this is not a goodbye. I'm going to be mayor for another year. I will have a full and likely controversial agenda to pursue and complete. My health is fine.
Slay is a youthful 62 and the city's longest-serving mayor since it was founded in 1764. In many ways, he's St. Louis personified.
An excerpt from our podcast, The Millennium Mayor. On today's program, we'll do a little reflecting of our own as Mayor Slay joins us in studio. Great to have you with us.
Happy to be here.
Got the desk cleaned out yet?
Not yet. No, it took a long time to fill it up. It's taken a little time to clean it out.
A long time, 16 years. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's quite a record. You know, you promised in that clip that we heard that this was going to be a full and controversial year this last year. Has it been?
It has been. Oh, yeah. We've done a tremendous amount of work just in the past year. You know, we had the issues with the we had issues with, for example, we did the MLS soccer. That was one that was it fell short. We also had MetroLink expansion, which was supported by the voters. Those were one was a tax increase. The other was the use tax, of course, for MLS soccer. I mean, those things were not without some controversy. We also had we're working on doing something with the airport, privatization of the airport. I guess we're ushering in a new era in terms of how we address the homeless in the city of St. Louis, and we're doing a much better job. But, you know, anytime you deal with tough issues like that, they can become there's a level of controversy in those things. So anytime you want to change the way things were, those are the things, you know, they become somewhat controversial. But we're always trying to do the very best we can for the future of our city and for the people that we represent.
You know, you mentioned a bunch of things that I'd like to talk about in a little more detail. But let's start with the homeless situation, because that's getting a lot of attention these days. Why has that been such a tough nut to crack in the city of St. Louis?
Well, the reason it is so tough is because the region. The St. Louis region generally turns its back on the homeless. Not that they don't do anything, but overall, it's viewed as the city's responsibility. So about half the people we serve in the city of St. Louis in our homeless service centers are not from the city of St. Louis. Their last address is from someplace else. So we don't have the regional buy-in and responsibility that we really should have to really address this regional issue. That's one of the challenges. The other challenge is that we are dealing with we had the NLEC, which was
New Life Evangelistic Center,
which is an organization that many people think is the homeless center for the city, which it is not. We have they have refused to be part of our continuum of care network. We have dozens of organizations that serve the homeless. You never hear from because they're doing a great job. They're doing an outstanding job. And it's unfortunate the NLEC, a New Life Evangelistic Center, has listed its net worth at somewhere between $40 and $50 million. I don't know where the money is, but it's not going into homeless services. So anytime you try to do something different with some of our most vulnerable people, it does become very difficult and delicate, and it is a lot of times becomes fodder for someone to create a controversy about it rather than stepping up and figuring out what you can do to help. Mm-hmm. So from our standpoint, it's always about, for me, it's always been about the people we're trying to serve, and that is the homeless. Creating an environment where everyone has a place to go, get services, and get assessed and get services and ultimately have a place to live. So they don't have to live on the street.
But isn't the city in the process of closing one of its temporary homeless shelters?
Well, it's temporary. I mean, temporary means we're going to close it. We want a more permanent solution to that, and we have one, by the way. And so what we're doing is we wanted to make sure that the New Life Evangelistic Center was operating without a permit and under terrible conditions. They were not healthy. It was not safe and it was creating a major issue with a lot of people on the streets, and there was a lot of drug dealing and a lot of other things going on there. It was not good for anybody, and particularly wasn't good for the homeless. So we built a brand new, and this sometimes people forget this, we built a brand new intake center, a Biddle House, and the whole idea is that you bring people in, you assess them, and you get them the services they need. And ultimately, we have rapid rehousing, where you get them in a place real quick. And we also have permanent supportive housing. We're partnering with the federal government. We get a lot of grants. But we have a continuum of care network of homeless service providers that we're partnering with to address this. So it's just not, you know, you get rid of, we close down NLEC. We have Biddle House. We're opening a shelter on the South St. Louis, which is 12th and Park. We've opened that, and also we have this facility that was a forestry facility. Believe me, that place is cleaner and more safe and better operated than NLEC ever was.
Can these facilities handle and absorb the people who are now back out on the street, if you will?
Yes, the facilities can, but I will tell you that. There's always we always have a need to have more involvement. I met with some organizations this morning in my office on this issue. This is very important to me. I as a mayor, I'm responsible for everybody, and how we treat our most vulnerable people who have no place to lay their head is really important to me. And we really need to make sure we do a better job. But I will tell you, we can do even a much better job if we had more regional involvement, more regional collaboration. Like I said, 50% of the people we serve are not from the city of St. Louis. They come from other places in the region.
Have you talked to officials in these other communities that are not sending people in, but from which these homeless people are coming to the city? Have you talked to them about some sort of cooperative arrangement?
We have, and we're in continuing discussion with organizations in the county and St. Louis County as well as in St. Charles County. And the thing is that it's really important is it's really hard to get people outside of St. Louis to understand that they have homeless people in their communities, because what they see is, that's the homeless issues. That's the city's issue and problem, because that's where the homeless live. The homeless are there because we have the facilities there. So I did meet this morning with a number of representatives from organizations in the region. And to talk about this very, very subject, it is very difficult to move people in a direction we're making progress there, but we still have a lot of work to do. There's nothing I want more than to make sure that everybody in our community is safe and they have a place to go at night, because that is the basic responsibility we have as a government. Now, of course, we can't do it ourselves. We partner with a continuum of care network, a lot of great organizations, Gateway 180. We have Peter and Paul Homeless Services. We also have St. Patrick Center and a whole host of others as well. I can name dozens. And they're doing a great job. But until the region comes to the table in a bigger way, we will never be able to do it as well as we need to.
You've talked to Lyda Crewson about this. Is she in sync with your thinking?
Yes, Lyda Crewson was in the meeting with us this morning, and she's committed, as I am and have been, to create even a better environment for the homeless and better opportunities for them, as well as a lot of other people that are at the table. This is not an easy solution. People that are homeless a lot of times have mental illness, sometimes very severe mental illness, drug addiction or chemical dependency of some sort. So these are this is a very, very important part of our community, and but addressing it is very challenging. But we've always been up to the challenge.
What about conversations with Steve Stenger?
Yes, those conversations, our health department and Charlie Dooley and I have had talked about this for a long time. But our human services department are discussing ways to collaborate even further. There is some collaboration, but it needs to be bigger and there needs to be more of it.
The word you hear on the street is, and we've been hearing it for a long time, is that you and Steve Stenger basically don't get along. There's some strain. There's something going on there that you two are not as tight as maybe you could be.
That's not true. Yeah. You know, well, tight as we could be, I guess if we were lock sync on everything, it'd be, you know, I guess that's the best way we can come out of this. But in the end, you know, that's not realistic. I mean, we have to respect for each other. We work with each other on a whole host of things. We have and, you know, we talk about it. We're like, well, gee, you and I are supposedly not getting along, and we laugh about it. We laughed about it just last week because that's not true. What happens is when there is a disagreement, that's what gets, you know, the attention. The attention comes when you have the disagreement. So the county executive and I have a good relationship, and I know he and Lida Crewson, the next mayor, will have a good relationship as well.
A lot of speculation that it might be better than the one that exists now.
And that's fine.
So much the better. We have to take a break. We're talking with Mayor Francis Slay, the outgoing mayor of St. Louis. He's leaving after 16 years in that office. The prior 16 years, he had served on the Board of Aldermen and for two terms, I think, as president. Was that correct?
Term and a half as president, yes.
Okay, well, long time of service to the city of St. Louis. Back to continue our conversation with Mayor Slay in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. We'll continue our conversation with Mayor Francis Slay in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Missouri State Auditor Nicole Galloway has released a report on transportation development districts. The report found districts across the state are engaging in questionable practices with little oversight or transparency because of weak laws. The audit also found that taxpayers are on the hook for nearly $1 billion in outstanding project costs to be repaid with sales taxes they did not vote on or approve. A Missouri House committee is expected to vote today on a workplace discrimination bill. The Senate has already approved a version of the bill, which would make it harder for employees to prove discrimination when fired from a job. An employee would have to prove race, color, religion, national origin, ancestry, sex, or age was the main reason for dismissal, not just a contributing factor. And Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner is holding a news conference today to announce the steps his administration will take to strengthen hate crime investigations. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation with Mayor Francis Slay. You'd mentioned at the top one of the things that was controversial during the year, of course, was this whole soccer debate. What's your analysis of why that failed this time around?
Well, first of all, let me say this. I think they did a great job on the campaign. And I think the SCSTL ownership group did a great job in making more people aware of of soccer and the tangible and intangible benefits of having an MLS team here in St. Louis. So I think that was good. I think it was a good, it was a very good thing to do. And even though it didn't pass, I don't think it passed. I think it didn't pass because, you know, first of all, there were a lot of things on the ballot. And we do have a city that has a high level of poverty. And, you know, trying to justify, it was very difficult to try to justify to many people why you would use public, you know, money, you know, for a stadium, multi-use stadium for MLS soccer and other things. It, I mean, the long and short of it is we get a net benefit out of the city. I mean, in terms of jobs and excitement and you know, tax dollars, all those things that come with it. Bringing a lot of activity into downtown, so it's in the end, but it's not something that a lot of people feel. You don't see that firsthand. It's really hard to describe what benefit that is for many people. So I get that, but the other thing is that, you know, one of the things that reason why it didn't pass is a lot of people that are going to be going to the games don't even live in the city and they can't vote, and so. This was a city. The city was going solo on this. This would be a regional asset, and if it was a regional approach, we would have been able, I think, to get this thing passed. So the point is that I haven't given up on it myself. I mean, I'm not going to be mayor for more than a week, but you know, I do think that this is an opportunity to bring another major, you know, major league. Sports franchise to St. Louis with some local owners that are deeply committed to and invest in the city in a big way.
Was it a strategic mistake not to try to bring county voters in and others into this mix?
Let's put it this way. We didn't I can't tell you we didn't try to do that. Huh. Wasn't an option. So we're hoping that, you know, sometime in the future there may be another approach to this that may involve a regional approach or something else that addresses whatever our shortfalls were in terms of the financing.
Yeah. Steve Stenger was on this program a week or so ago, and he says no one ever approached him about county involvement.
Okay.
Yeah. You're going to let it go at that?
Well, you know, here's what I will tell you, that the ownership group they were the ones that were looking at how to best try to put this together. So I'm not going to dispute what the county executive said. That may be true. I certainly did not speak to him directly about it. And so I'm sure that was an accurate statement.
But you think it's not a dead deal?
Well, I think it's not a dead deal because, as I said, I really think more people became more excited about soccer and became more aware of the intangible and tangible benefits of having an MLS team here. And so I don't have any specific information or ideas about an approach to it at this point. But this is a big soccer town. At one point, we were the soccer capital of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the beneficiaries of it, having played here and having played soccer myself, not on the professional level, but up to the collegiate level and beyond. We got a lot of fans here. We got a lot of opportunity. But, you know, this the region and its assets are bigger than the city by itself. So I do think that if when I talked about regional cooperation, I wasn't trying to slight anybody on behalf of the county. But believe me, if we were part of St. Louis County, okay, and this was a countywide initiative, this thing would have passed. Mm-hmm. If we were part of St. Louis County. So what I was talking about was that we're that line that divides a city and a county and this idea, and I'm not talking about Steve Stenger, okay, I'm talking about county residents in general. Where they've got this view that, oh, that's a city, not everybody, but there's certainly enough people, where that's a city issue, or that's in the city, that doesn't affect us, and that's not true. What happens in the city affects the region, and what happens in St. Louis County affects the region as well. So we need to have a broader approach, and the only way we're going to have that, ultimately, is we need to erase that line between the St. Louis City and St. Louis County. There needs to be reunification between St. Louis City and County. And we can talk about soccer. We can talk about MetroLink. We talk about a lot, you know, convention center. We talk about a lot of things that are regional in terms of their significance, and yet they're dealt with largely on an individual basis. So we need to do a better job going forward.
This conversation has been going on for a long time, though, and it never seems to get very far. There are some instances of cooperation between the city and the county.
Well, yes,
relatively minor, though. The big one is really hard to affect.
We did this. We're making progress. We have, you know, we do have Metrolink, which is a regional thing. I think how it's operated from a security standpoint is hampered by the division between the city and the county, but which I've talked about. But we have the Zoo Museum District. We also have the Economic Development Partnership that is now working together, and that worked very well in NGA. As St. Louis County Executive Steve Stenger actually, and the St. Louis Economic Development Partnership supported the city, even though they had two proposals in St. Louis County, supported the city's proposal, the city's site. So that was good. So there's a lot of – we're doing cooperation and collaboration. We just need to do more.
So what's it going to take to take that big step?
Well, two things, information and education. People need to know what it's going to mean to them and for them. And that's what Better Together is all about. They're getting information, and they're doing a good job in gathering it, but disseminating it's always a big challenge. And the other thing is that it's going to take I think it's a generational thing. I think so many people that are closer to my age are more, you know, they look at things the way they used to be, and they're afraid of change. But younger people are more open-minded. I mean, this division between city and county are all these different municipalities in St. Louis County, which is a problem by himself as well. In fact, St. Louis County has something in the neighborhood of 6-7 times the number of aldermen than the city of St. Louis on a per capita basis. That's very inefficient. Okay, so there are issues, and I think younger people are more open-minded in terms of what's possible for the future. So I do think it's generational, and I also think there needs to be more education and information out there.
Ultimately, it would have to come to a vote.
That's correct.
Of some sort. Well, here's what I hear, and you probably heard it too. The county people will vote against it because they don't want the, quote, city's problems.
Well, that's ridiculous.
You do hear that.
Well, though. I do hear it, but here's what I'll say in response to that. First of all, we have the county's problems. And the county has the city problems. Whether we like it or not, we are competing nationally and internationally against other regions and cities. You know, whether it's Indianapolis, whether it's Louisville and other cities, Denver and other cities that have done consolidation of some sort and doing a much better job in competing around the world and nationally. And so we are, you know, we have a regional workforce. We have a regional economy. We have regional challenges. We have regional resources, and we have a regional image. If we don't start doing a better job, and we do some things well, I'm not saying we don't do anything, but if we don't do a better job of working together as a region, we're going to continue to fall behind, and we are falling behind. And by the way, if we don't do a better job, we're going to continue to fall behind. But I think it's important to note that that line that draws that line is really a psychological problem for us. So, unless until that line's gone and we're actually part of St. Louis County, then it's going to be real hard to look at it as one. We did the Arch Grounds together, by the way. The county voters supported the Arch Grounds, so we've seen some positive things. We have a regional freight district now, which is that's actually Illinois and Missouri, something we created. Yeah. So there's a lot of good progress in that regard. But again, I think generationally, younger people are more open-minded, and we're going to see some more progress in that regard.
Do you think you did all that you could during 16 years to make that happen?
All I could in that regard?
Yeah.
You're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, if there's something we missed, because we did do the regional freight district. We did do Mosaic, which was a regional effort. The St. Louis Economic Development organization that we did, you know, we were trying to do more. We're trying to do some more regional stuff on homelessness. We're trying to do. We did a regional plan between city and county on reducing homelessness, but the point is that did we do all we can? Well, if there's something we all I can tell you is we try to do everything we can think of. So there may have been things we could have done or should have done, and didn't do. But we were doing, we're trying to do everything. But it does. It takes two. It takes a group of people, leaders working together. Can't just be a mayor and saying we need to do this. It needs better together. That was a big thing that came up. And that's moving in the right direction.
Yeah. There's a lot of political turf out there that people don't want to give up. I don't want to beat this dead horse here, but that's one of the issues. We got, you know, 90 municipalities and mayors, and you've got 60 police departments or whatever it is. A lot of turf would have to be given up to make this happen.
That's part of the problem. I know when I was talking about this and I talked to mayors around the community. By the way, the municipal league, the St. Louis Municipal League. This is a group of mayors from around St. Louis. A group of them came to see me, and they are for city-county reunification. Mm. They're for it. Mm. So there are some – there are a number of leaders and people who are looking forward for the betterment of the entire region that really are for this, and their voices are becoming more, and they're becoming louder. And more things we see that are regional that are successful – some of the things I mentioned already, we really can do this better if we work together.
A couple of other things that we need to talk about. You mentioned early on the privatization proposal for the airport. Once that proposal was made, I haven't heard much about it. Does that have any legs at all at this point?
Well, here's what's going on. All we did was apply to get on a list to be eligible to explore that possibility. And so 30 days from when we filed it, is when we will get, on the 30th day, we will get a response from the FAA to see whether or not we are on the list.
It's coming up. It must be coming up.
It's coming up very soon. Yeah. So when we get on that list, assuming we get on that list, that's when everything starts rolling. That's when we, you know, we engage our consultants. We'll end up doing an RFQ, request for qualifications for qualified operators. We'll be in community discussions. Ultimately, this thing would have to be approved by the airlines, 65% of the airlines by landed weight and by the numbers. So, for example, if Southwest Airlines is against it, it's not going to happen because they have over 50% of by themselves of the landed weight of the airlines. But so the airlines have to approve it. The FAA would have to approve it. The Board of Aldermen would have to approve it. So this would be something that is going to have a lot of discussion, but if it does come to fruition, it'll probably won't be before 2 years from now. So it'd be a lot of discussion. For me, there's nobody that I know that is satisfied with what's with Lambert Airport. Mm-hmm. We know what we used to have, and we know what we have now. And by the way, Rhonda Homney-Bringy's done a great job. And based on the circumstances that we were dealt, you know, with American pulling out and, you know, TWA filing bankruptcy and all that happening and the recessions and all the other things, she's done a great job. I think we've done a great job. We're growing our employments and our flights steadily over the years. But, we still have tremendous excess to capacity. We have a $1 billion runway there that isn't being used nearly as much as it can be. So there's tremendous opportunity. So looking at the possibility of privatizing the operations, we would still own it. We would just lease it on a long-term lease, 40 years or 30, 40-year lease or whatever it's going to be. But ultimately, we have the trump card here. We can say we don't want this. If this isn't going to work for the people of St. Louis, for the airport and for the region, we're not going to do it. But we can't even see what's on the table yet unless we get on the list and we start through the process. I think we owe it to ourselves and to the future of this region and the people we represent to think big and see if this is something that's going to help us. And Chicago came this close to getting it done. They got, I think, hung up with the recession and Lehman Brothers and that whole issue there. I talked to somebody from Southwest, and he said we're open-minded on this thing. We want the very best for the airport as well, and for the airlines. So, if this is going to be good for the airport and the airlines, and it's going to be good for the people of St. Louis and the region, then we ought to take a hard look at it.
Is the winning of the NGA, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, the brightest star in your 16 years?
Well, you know, for the 16 years is a long time. But, you know, certainly it was certainly a huge accomplishment, one that certainly I'm very proud of, and it took a lot of people working together to make that happen. And this is why it's so big. It's big not because we're keeping 3,100 jobs of a prestigious federal agency, although that by itself is a big deal, and the millions of dollars in taxes and the activity they bring. But it's the fact that we are now using that as a anchor for the redevelopment of an area of the near North Side neighborhood of the city of St. Louis that has not seen any major development in decades. Nothing like this. And so we're taking advantage of it. We have this Project Connect that we're working on to make sure that we connect this organization with the community. The North-South Metrolink's going to go through right near where NGA is. And that is, we have some seed funding for that now with Proposition 1 that passed just last week. We have a Choice Neighborhood grant that we got from the federal government, $30 million for Preservation Square housing development in that area, and it's focused on people, housing, and neighborhood, and that we've leveraged with that over $500 million worth of local investment, not including NGA. So you're going to see a lot of work over the – now, that thing's not going to be open until 2023, the NGA. They don't expect to open. They said 2022. I'm adding another year. Everything's always later than expected. So 2023, between now and then, we'll be working to develop the area in North St. Louis around there and to the north and to the east and to the west. We've got the new Mississippi River Bridge that feeds into that. And we're putting some transportation infrastructure in there, not just Metrolink, so people can come in and out of there, not just NGA, but North St. Louis in an easier way. This is going to be a huge shot in the arm for North St. Louis and really set a trend, reverse the trend of this that we've seen through the Del Mar Divide with North-South Metrolink and NGA and Project Connect. So I'm very excited about it. So it is certainly one of my most proud accomplishments.
Well, it's something I want to continue talking about when we come back from a break. I have to take another one. Yeah. We'll do it now. Our guest, of course, is Mayor Francis Slay, the outgoing mayor of the city of St. Louis. Back to continue the conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you'd prefer to send a tweet, do so at STL on Air. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Welcome back to our conversation with Mayor Francis Slay of St. Louis. Mayor, spinning off of your response, talking about NGA a moment ago, we have an email from Virginia who writes, "Does Mayor Slay now regret selling so much land to Paul McKee instead of selling options on the land? Does he see a way for the city and residents to regain control of those areas?"
I have no regrets at all in what we did. I think the accomplishments in terms of landing NGA, I think, bear out that the decisions we made were the right ones. Believe me, it's easy to always look back and say you should have done this or you should have done that. But in the context of what we did, we needed to land this project. We needed to make sure we kept those jobs. We did not want to get into a lengthy, drawn-out lawsuit. If we did, everybody would have lost. Okay, the people of St. Louis would have lost in particular. The people what we did, our goal was number one goal, was not about selling land to Paul McKee. This was about working together to figure out how we land NGA, and we succeeded. So, no, I have no regrets.
You said off air that this whole, the ball got rolling in 2001 and that the McKee acquisitions were key to this whole NGA thing.
Yeah. If Paul McKee hadn't put his own money in and borrowed a ton of money at high risk with no expectation or no – certainly no he had no promise of a return. If he wouldn't have done that early on and started assembling sites, I mean, these are environmentally contaminated sites. They have deteriorated infrastructure. They're vacant properties. A lot of people weren't taking care of them. A lot of empty lots and those kinds of things. And by the way, the properties we had, nobody else wanted them. Okay, so what we needed to do is make sure we had assembled sites so that we can attract a big user. And ultimately, because of his efforts, if Paul McKee didn't take those risks. And by the way, his argument is, since he assembled these sites and he bought a bunch of them himself, and we had a bunch of properties that we couldn't take care of, but we had them because nobody else wanted them. When we sold those to Paul, he had these things now assembled in a good way. And as a result, you know, his view is, because I put all this money in, the properties that we all bought is worth more. And he had a point there. But whatever way you want to look at it, in the end, the goal was to land NGA, and we did it. But if Paul wouldn't have made those investments and took those huge risks with no guarantee of a return, we would not have even had the land available to even compete for NGA. We would have lost all those jobs.
How much help was Barack Obama to this? We've heard that he wanted this located in an urban area where people living in a city would have access to these jobs.
I didn't talk to the president directly because he wasn't talking to anybody about it that I'm aware of outside of his internal circle. And what discussions were there, I don't know. I do know that I've talked to his Office of Management and Budget Director, this HUD director, people in his office in the White House, Intergovernmental Affairs Director. We talked to their people with the program that we're part of, SC. It's called SC2. We have so those individuals really saw to me, there was no promises when I was making arguments. I was in the White House talking to some of these individuals. They really saw the benefit of doing this, not only in terms of having a great site for NGA, which was paramount, but also the impact that it would have on the community. And of course, we got a lot of help from Claire McCaskill, our senator, U.S. Senator, Lacey Clay, as well as Roy Blunt. So we had bipartisan, and Ann Wagner for that matter. So we had some real bipartisan support up there. So I didn't talk to the president, but I talked to a number of his top people and staffers as well. And I got the feeling that they really saw – there was no commitments, but they saw – it was clear that they saw the benefit of putting this facility where it was, mostly because of what impact it would have on making sure that the organization can meet its mission, but also because of the other impacts, positive impacts it would have on the neighborhood surrounding it.
Another email here from Paul writes, how will North, South, Black, White come together in St. Louis? Are there initiatives at work?
Yes. North, South Metrolink is one. I mean, connecting people through transit is absolutely important. You know, there in North St. Louis, about a third of the household do not have access to a car. Getting people, having people having an opportunity at upward mobility, having access to a job, to education, to health care, those kinds of things, even going to the grocery store. These are all things that are important. So that will go a long way in bridging that Del Mar divide that, you know, we're so familiar with. So making sure everybody has a chance to succeed in life. So that's one thing. Quality education is another one, and that's one thing that I'm very proud of. We have much better public schools in the city of St. Louis today than we did 16 years ago. And so making sure everybody has an opportunity to quality education, level the playing field when you compete for jobs and opportunity as you go into the future. Quality health care. And also what we did was we created a Regional Health Commission I can talk about a lot, which has been very successful before Obamacare was even talked about. We also created affordable housing trust fund so that we have better quality low-income housing and moderate-income housing all over the city of St. Louis so that people have a better place to live. So better education, better quality health care, better housing, and better access to opportunity through transportation and infrastructure. These are all things that are essential to bridging that divide.
But we have to point out, I think, that the mayor's office really doesn't have much of influence over education. Correct.
That's correct, but yep. We do have the bully pulpit. I was the one that asked the state to take over with special administrative board to appoint administrative board so that we can have some we can have a school board that's going to work together and be steady. And as a result of that, they were able to attract, after having I think it was 6 or 7 superintendents in 6 years, they were able to attract a quality superintendent in Calvin Adams. He's outstanding. I just gave him a key to the city for his yeoman's work in improving quality education. Then I also went on a dual track of supporting quality charter schools in the city. There was a level of controversy there, but in the end, to me, it was about what's best for the kids. If it's a quality education, free public education, I don't care what you call it. And so we did that as well. So I have the bully pulpit there, and I created a commission. I could talk all about that. So the mayor can do a lot more than what is given to him in terms of the charter authorities.
Yeah. The 500-pound gorilla in the room whenever we talk about urban life is crime and violence. And that certainly has been no stranger here in the city of St. Louis. We've been declared by various organizations at times the most dangerous city in the country. This, during your 16 years, obviously a subject of concern to you.
Yeah.
Do you see any way around this kind of situation? I mean, look at Chicago. Look at all the major cities. They all experience this.
Yes.
What can be done, do you think?
Yes. Chicago has somebody shot every 2 hours and somebody killed every 11 hours. It's horrible. Now, here's what I'll tell you about St. Louis. That's the one thing that keeps me up at night is crime. I'm always worried about one of our citizens or somebody visiting our city or somebody here working being a victim of violent crime, a police officer getting shot or, for that matter, getting killed in the line of duty. Those are the things that really bother me the most. Now, I will tell you that crime has dropped dramatically under my administration, dramatically. In fact, in the past 10 years, crime has dropped in half, 50% drop in overall crime. And homicides were trending down very, very well there for a while. And then in the last 3 years in particular, they shot up, as they have in a lot of other major cities. The issue that impacts us in the city, we're 62 square miles. That doesn't mean we don't have a problem. So the fact, if we want to compare us with other cities, then you need to compare apples and apples. So if you compare St. Louis with a city that's 300 square miles or 500 square miles or even 250 square miles, then our numbers tend to be a lot more skewed. We have a lot high level of poverty. And so if you want to compare cities, you need to compare based upon square miles and demographics. We still, by the way, have way too high of homicides in particular. And that is something that is very challenging and also very disturbing to me. Now, one thing for sure, we have the police department. They solve crimes. They have a level of their in terms of their responsibility to reduce crime and to prevent crime. But ultimately, they're the last resort, you know. And so I do think that having a line between the city and the county has an impact on that overall, and not only in terms of how we're compared with other regions in that, but also how we address it. The county just passed, you know, a sales tax increase. They're going to be giving their cops more money. We're competing with that. It shouldn't be that way. We have now been able to get our police officers $9,000 more over the past 3 years. We're going to try to get them even more this year. But the point is that, again, this regional division and in terms of public safety resources. All the different municipalities having their own police department. A lot of them having their own police departments and all that. Yeah. We're wasting regional resources that can be pulled together on crime and doing it more effectively. Here's the other thing. What happens in the city impacts St. Louis County and the rest of the region as well. If we're ranked as the number one, you know, most violent city in America, or number three or whatever number it is, it impacts the whole region. People living in New York or Los Angeles or Singapore, when they look at those numbers, they're thinking, well, geez, St. Louis, they don't think, well, that's east of Skinker. They're thinking that's St. Louis, so it impacts all of us. So we need to address this even better on a regional basis.
A lot of people think Ferguson is St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure.
In other parts of the country.
That's correct.
Has local control had any impact on those crime numbers you were talking about in any sense?
Well, you know, it's hard to say what impact it has on the crime numbers. It certainly did not have a negative impact on the crime numbers. But what it has done is it gives us what virtually every city in America has, and that's its own police department. The only other city in America where the state controls, the only city in America now that where the state controls the police department is Kansas City. I'm expecting in the not too distant future they'll change that. But what it's done is it's brought St. Louis City Government and the police department together. This is our biggest part of our budget is the police department. This is our most important issue, which is fighting crime and public safety. So it was disconnected before. I've been in government long before I was mayor, and I saw it. And as mayor, I saw it as well. There was a lot of things in the police department. That's City Hall's responsibility. Or who's going to pay for this? I remember being at a police board meeting. One of the police board members said, well, who's going to pay for this, us or you? And I said, the city, pays for everything. So this view that it's us versus them, now we're collaborating more, okay? We have a chief that understands city government very well. He was my operations manager for a year and a half. And we have departments now that are working and collaborating more with the police department in addressing crime in a lot of ways, and I can talk about it. I know we don't have much time. But we're better off because we have local control.
Mm-hmm. Just to change subjects, because we don't have much time, I just wanted to bring this out because a lot of people think it was a shining moment for you during your most recent term, and that was the opening City Hall to a gay wedding, and it really got a lot of people talking, a lot of people thinking.
Yeah, that's something I'm very, very proud of. We had four couples, same-sex marriages, four same-sex marriages in my office at one time, mm-hmm. and we did that to make a point. And the point was that we're a city open to everybody, regardless of your race, your gender, your sexual orientation, or whom you decide to love. And everybody should be allowed to live a quality life and have the same opportunities and same opportunities under the law as everybody else and have the same benefits under the law as everybody else. So this made perfect sense to me. When I think about how many lives we have impacted by just making that statement in our city, I mean, it was a sigh of relief for so many people.
You took some heat for it, though, I'm sure.
Yes, and that's fine. You know, this is a job where you can't please everybody, but ultimately we impacted a lot of lives. And it's just not the people getting married. It's their friends, their family members, and the whole community in general. Having an open and a welcoming community is good for business as well, good for economics, and good for families, good for neighborhoods. So I'm proud of what we did.
A lot of people were speculating that if Hillary Clinton had won the election, that Francis Slay was probably in line for a job, maybe a federal judgeship, something like that, if she had won. Do you have any feeling that that might, in fact, have been the case?
That would not have been the case. That was never in the cards. Nothing that I was interested in. I got involved in all the presidential elections since I was mayor for one reason. I want St. Louis to be relevant. I want people in Washington to say St. Louis is, you know, they have leadership. They care about national politics. They're getting involved. I had no interest in a federal job. No interest in a federal judgeship. And what I did have interest in is staying right here in St. Louis, the city that I love, and being engaged in the community civically as well, which I expect to be. But I had no plans, nor did I talk to anybody about any jobs in government, federal government. A lot of people don't believe that, but I'm telling you that's the truth.
You're going to have quite a dramatic lifestyle change after April 18th. Looking forward to being a private citizen.
Yes. Yes, I am, very much so. You know, I love this job as mayor. And what I like about it most are the people, the relationships that I built, working with so many people that are that have big hearts, that care about the city, that want to make it better for everybody. And that's what I'm going to miss the most. But you know what? The hardest part about the job is it never stops and everything's public. So I'm looking forward to having a private life again, being a private citizen, but being engaged civically.
I mean, you're out every night and weekends doing mayor stuff. I mean, attending events and being present, representing the city. That's going to be quite dramatically different for you.
It's going to be different. And you know what? I loved it. And I love it. And what I love about it is, you know, being it is an honor to be representing the city at events, but I have fun, whatever I do, in meeting with people, engaging with people, particularly people who are doing good things for the community.
We have less than a minute. What do you hope your legacy will be months, years from now?
Well, I think that what I'd like to say is that I think that hopefully people can say that I gave it all I got, all I had, that I was focused on the most important issues of the city and the region, and that we've made St. Louis a better place for everyone, and city government working better for everyone as well. Still a lot of challenges, but I think we've got a lot to be proud of.
Any one thing you would point to in 15 seconds, the high point?
Well, I really can't think of one thing. There's way too many things that we did that's a hard thing. I do think that making St. Louis a better place for, in other words, I think the thing we're most proud of are the things that we did for the disadvantaged and underserved in the community, whether it's addressing homelessness, education, housing, you know, all the things that affordable housing and affordable health care, those kinds of things are the things I think we made St. Louis a better place for more people.
Francis Lay, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations on your 16 years and the 16 years before that, and best of luck to you in your new life as an attorney in St. Louis.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to join you, Don.
Likewise. Tomorrow in St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with NPR newscaster Jack Spear. We'll also take a look at ProPublica's investigation showing some minority neighborhoods in Missouri and Illinois pay higher insurance premiums despite anti-discrimination laws. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.